The meaning is in your mind. It's not in the event. And if you just make that distinction, then the emotion goes away. And you can always be more effective not operating out of an emotion.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. My guest today is from California. Her name is Shelley Lefko. How are you, Shelley?
I'm great. When people say I'm from California and then I start to speak, everybody goes, what?
So Shelley is a movie star because the way we connected, I was watching Gaia one night and she had a documentary on Gaia, this amazing platform that talks about kind of spirituality and mindfulness. So we're in the presence of some famous lady here. So Shelley, I always jump right in. So can you explain how entrepreneurs can identify their own limiting beliefs, especially those they might not even consciously be aware of?
Sure. So most of our beliefs are unconscious. And we have trainings that teach people how to illuminate and eliminate their beliefs. So it's a course, and I'm going to try to tell you, but there is a lot to it, to discovering what your beliefs are. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'll make a distinction between a pattern and a belief, because everybody's talking about beliefs. 30 years ago, when I started Bread, I would say we eliminate people's beliefs, and they would go, you mean like a religious belief? Like what? They had no idea. Now everybody's talking about beliefs. And I'm going to tell you why most things don't work to eliminate beliefs, okay? But a pattern is what you want to change. So a pattern is observable. I procrastinate. I don't speak up for myself. I let people, you know, do whatever they want because I'm afraid to fire them or whatever that is. I have fear of public speaking. You can observe a pattern, and a pattern is what you want to change. A belief is a statement about reality that you hold as the truth. I believe this to be true. And I will explain later why beliefs are so powerful and grip us and why it seems like it's so hard to get rid of them, and it's not. So to answer your question, if you have a pattern, something that you're doing or not doing, you might ask yourself, what might someone believe that would have them? So let's assume you don't speak up. What might someone believe that would have them not speak up? And logically, you can say, well, maybe speaking is dangerous, or if I speak up, I'll get in trouble. Or mistakes and failures are bad.
What I say doesn't matter.
What I say doesn't matter. Exactly. Exactly. People aren't interested in what I have to say. Fear of public speaking is the only pattern that has the same beliefs for everybody. It's like,
and what is that?
I'm not good enough, which everyone has. So I've worked with 5 Harvard PhDs who had the belief, I'm stupid.
Wow.
So they know they're not stupid, but they still believe it.
Yeah.
So I'm not good enough. I'm not important. Mistakes and failures are bad. If I make a mistake or fail, I'll be rejected. What I have to say is not important. People are not interested in what I have to say. I'm inadequate sometimes. Now, here's the big one. This is the belief that changed my life that underlies a lot of patterns. What makes me good enough is having other people think well of me. That belief, life opens up.
So Shelley, all of those things you just listed, don't they all come back to I am not enough?
No,
no?
They're very, very different. Very different. So mistakes and failures are bad has nothing to do with I'm not enough. People aren't interested in what I have to say is different. People, workaholism is what makes me good enough are my achievements. So you have, I'm not good enough, which is like a beach ball, or I'm not important. So I work with very successful entrepreneurs who say I'm worth $10 million. I'm on the cover of business publications. I wrote about this one guy. His name was Brad, actually. That's funny.
Not me, though.
No, not you. Definitely not you. But he was on the cover of business publications worth $10 million. He was ready to get his second divorce. Wife was ready to leave him. His kids didn't know him. And he said, when is it going to be enough? And I said, never. And here's why. I'm not good enough. I'm not important. What makes me important are my achievements, right? So I'm going to tell you in a minute how beliefs get formed. You'll understand that. What makes me good enough are my achievements. So now I got to hold this beach ball underwater. So I have to keep achieving. It's like a heroin addiction, right? Mm-hmm. That's workaholism. So I'm not good enough underlies the survival strategy, but the survival strategy belief drives the behavior.
Interesting, because I would think that if a human being said, what I have to say is not important, that would lead me to believe they weren't good enough. Because if they were good enough, they'd say, well, yeah, it's what I have to say is important, right?
No. Here's the secret. This is the secret sauce, everyone. Okay, I'm going to give you the secret sauce. We come into this world as little balls of consciousness. We don't know if we're good enough or not. We don't know if life is hard or easy. We don't know if money is scarce and hard to get, or it flows to us with abundance. We just don't know. So we look at our little family, whatever it is, a single mom, a mom and mom, a dad and mom, it doesn't matter. And every little child in every, I have clients bred in Saudi Arabia, which blows my mind, in every country. And I ask them, what does your child ask all day long? And they all say the same thing. Why? Why are they not listening to me? Why am I being ignored? Well, I guess what I have to say is not important. Now, here's why our beliefs stay with us through 15 years of therapy and 22 self-help courses. We think we see our beliefs in the world. I saw what I have to say is not important. You would have seen that. I saw I'm not good enough. I saw life is hard. Can't you see that? And that's why the Harvard PhDs didn't get rid of their beliefs when they went to Harvard, because they still think they saw I'm stupid. Now, anything you could see, for those of you who are listening, I'm holding up a water bottle. So it has a color, a shape, and a location. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Anything you could see has a color, shape, and location. You cannot see what I have to say is not important. You can see your father ignoring you or your mother not listening when you were a child.
Right.
But the belief is in your mind. And yeah. When you get that there's no Santa Claus, like, oh my God, I made that up. That's my father in a red suit. The belief is gone and it never, ever comes back.
Wow. So I sidetracked you, but the original question was, how can an entrepreneur identify their own limiting beliefs?
Yeah, I said by asking logically,
other patterns.
What might someone believe that would be doing this? So take yourself out of the equation. I mean, that's one way, there's a million.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's the little voice in my head saying all the time? Generally, the belief. So if you're afraid to do something, what must you believe that has you not just go for it in life, you know?
Yeah.
I told my kids, you know, life is a daring adventure or nothing. Just go for it. But my kids were taught anytime they made a mistake or failed, I would yell, learning opportunity.
So these limiting beliefs, how do they typically manifest in the decision-making in growth of a business? Can you give us some examples of that?
Huge, yes. So in my book, Hitting the Wall, Transforming, Eliminating the Beliefs That Sabotage Your Business and Your Life, I talk about the most common patterns, right? So if you get rid of a belief, so there's two beliefs, mistakes. Now, every business book on the shelf today tells you, fail forward. Richard Branson says, if you're not failing, you're going to be mediocre because you're doing what you did yesterday, right? It doesn't matter. People are still terrified to make mistakes and fail. So when you get rid of that belief, all of a sudden, and what's so cool about my particular work is that the voice in your head is quiet. It's like now you go to say something and you go, oh, you better not say it, or what if it's wrong? Or I had a fear of public speaking client whose dad used to stop talking to him for days when he didn't do what he wanted, right? So he had the belief, if I make a mistake or fail, I'll be rejected. So I said to him, did you ever see that? And I take him through the whole process. And we get to the step and he said, I did see it. And he's arguing with me. I saw, and I said, no. And finally I got him to see, you saw your father stop talking to you when you were a kid. But where was any time I make a mistake or fail, I'm going to be rejected. And he gets rid of the belief. So the next day, this is a great example of how beliefs manifest. When you get rid of them, what happens? So the next day he goes in and he's doing a presentation. He makes a mistake and some guy says, that was wrong. And he said, oh, what's the right answer? And the guy tells him, he says, everybody listen up. What I just said was wrong. Charlie, can you repeat it so everybody hears? So the guy repeats it and he turns around. And he says, thank you for speaking up. I wouldn't have wanted anybody to walk out of here with the wrong information. So he's walking to his office and I had shared with him that when my daughter did the half Iron Man and she crossed it, she had her arm up in the air and she looked at us and she said, I am the shit. So he says, I'm walking to my office and I feel like the shit. He goes, and the phone is ringing. And he picks up the phone and it was the executive vice president of the company. And he said, I was in the room when you made that mistake. I was so impressed with how you handled it. I'm putting you up for a promotion.
Wow.
He said, so I didn't get rejected. I got promoted.
That's awesome. I think I know, but the growth of the business, how can a limiting belief like affect someone trying to grow their business?
So again, it's not a limiting belief. And you're right. Beliefs are limiting in their very nature because a belief is a box. And so anytime you have a box, there's a limit. So beliefs are inherently limiting. Now, some beliefs are good beliefs and they support you in having, you know, if you believe I get everything I want, I believe the universe loves me. Everything turns out. You know, I talk about in my book, when my husband died, Brad, I did not know the difference between a P&L and a balance sheet. You put somebody in front of me, I'll change their lives. I can speak in front of 10,000 people. It's wonderful. Run a business, shoot me in the head. I didn't want to. And I have a technique. I don't know that we're going to have time to teach it. It's really fast, but it's really powerful. So I had eliminated a lot of beliefs that allowed me to be willing to step up and take the business on. And it has over tripled since my husband died 8 years ago. So you have to be willing to. There are lots of beliefs that keep you, like again, mistakes, and if I make a mistake or fail, or money is scarce and hard to get, or you have to really work hard to make money. People can't be trusted, so you don't delegate, right? People are going to screw me. We have all kinds of beliefs about people, about life. Life is hard. You know, I'll never get what I want. Or beliefs that you have to be the best, you have to be perfect. So if you have a belief, what makes me good enough is being perfect, or I have to be perfect in order to be successful, you're not going to try things. You're not going to have a 2.0 because you're going to keep waiting and waiting and waiting until it's perfect to put it out. And one of the things that I love about the new economy is that, you know, 2.0 is a like, yeah, we're going to have a 2.0. In the old days, it was like, it has to be perfect. So there's a shift in the consciousness. But if you have a belief that is antithetical to that, you won't do it. So beliefs have everything to do with the success of your business.
Yeah, my limiting belief for 47 years was I wasn't enough and I wasn't smart. And therefore, I tried to show people I was smart and I made 5 business mistakes that cost myself and my partner $9 million.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But like you said, failing forward, even all those mistakes, I'm still here today. And now I can relate to people who are going through those things. But it really is incredible. I love what you said. A belief in itself is limiting. That's really powerful. So, other than asking what others would say, what are some effective strategies or techniques for entrepreneurs to overcome these mental barriers that may be affecting and holding them back in their personal life and professional life?
Yeah, go to eliminatebeliefs.com and eliminate a belief for free. So I'm not a technique girl. I do have a little tool. I'll tell you in a second. This will either blow you away or you'll go, oh, I knew that. But for most people, it's kind of... Because I do want to give you a takeaway. You know, I don't want you to say, well, you have to work with me, or we have a product called Natural Confidence and you can eliminate beliefs, you know, on video. And it's very inexpensive. We really want people to have this, you know, I'm not a tips girl. If you're going to eliminate a belief, the only way I know is you go through this process and eliminate your beliefs. And you can read the book. And I give you the process in the book, hitting the wall. And I will take you, you could go through step by step by step, or you could do it on video, which is what I'm giving you with Eliminate Beliefs. If you're in a room and somebody comes over to you and doesn't speak to you, what might you automatically think?
Something's wrong with me. I look funny. I smell funny.
Everything you said, I would have said, that's meaning. So everybody listening said they're rude, they're distracted, they don't like me, I did something wrong. Those are all meanings, okay?
Yeah.
Meaning is in your mind. Yes?
Good. Yes.
If meaning is in your mind, do events have inherent meaning?
I would say they probably don't. We give them meaning.
Well, we either do or we don't. I mean, we have a course, a 10-week course, at the end of which people come out like gurus. They don't fight with their spouse anymore. They don't fight with their business partner. They just learn how to dissolve meaning. So that's what I'm going to teach you, this 10-week course, in 2 minutes. So another way of saying events have no meaning is we don't know anything for sure because something happened. So my husband died, and that was devastating. We were a very extraordinary couple with partners and everything. So it was very sad and terrible. But it doesn't mean I'll never be happy again, or I'll never love again, or I'm going to starve to death, which was one of the meanings I gave it. So where grief is healthy, not wanting to get out of bed is not. So I used this technique to get out of bed when he died. What happened? So in this case, my husband died. All of our feelings, all of our emotions come from the meaning we give meaningless events. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't matter or it's no big deal. You lost $9 million. That's a big deal. But it doesn't mean you're not a good entrepreneur, or you're stupid, or you're not a good businessman, or you'll never be successful. Those are the meanings that get us in trouble. So if you want a good technique, I'm going to give you two ways to do this. Anytime you have a negative emotion, fear, what happened? My husband died. What meaning did I give it? I'm going to starve to death. I don't know how to run a business. What else could it mean? It could mean I'm going to step up. But what does it really mean? What do we know for sure? Nothing. Next day, sad. Oh, now again, honor your feelings. Stay with them as long as you want. I don't want to walk around feeling, people say, there's no negative emotions. I don't want to walk around feeling sad or angry or anxious. It doesn't work for me. So I said, what happened? My husband died. What meaning did I give it? I'm going to be alone forever. What else could it mean? Could mean I have a whole second act that's about to happen. But the fact that he died has no meaning. So with entrepreneurs, anything that happens, you don't close a deal, your product doesn't sell, your video doesn't get a lot of hits, what? And you start to get upset. If you catch it and stop and say, what happened? What meaning did I give what happened? And what else could it mean? Come up with one other meaning, and then get the events have no inherent meaning. I don't know anything for sure because that happened. And then possibilities open up. Now, meaning generally comes from beliefs. So if you get rid of your beliefs, you don't have to do this. The meaning, you won't give the events that meaning. You get rid of the belief, I'm not important, and somebody ignores you, you don't give it the meaning, they don't like me, or they're ignoring me, or you just say to them, you know, I don't appreciate being ignored, but you don't feel the feelings.
Yeah, I say it in a different way, right? I tell clients and my listeners that no matter what's going to happen, it's going to happen, and you feeling a certain way about it, you can be pissed off or you can be happy, but the event's still going to happen or happen, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Maybe.
Why?
Well,
maybe
you can. You know, again, I don't want to, that's very good, but it's different to say, it's a valid point, However, comma, you might be able to do something about it.
Yeah, maybe I didn't phrase that well. More like you just got in a car accident, right? Or it's raining, yeah, and you can't play golf.
Yes.
You really can't do anything. It's already happened. Now you get to either be like pissed off for days or hours, or be like, okay, it just is what it is. Kind of similar to there's no meaning. You're just seeing the world for just like nature does. Yeah. Just it is what it is.
Yeah. And that is one way to do it. And it's great. This is just another way. And another way is here's one last technique. This is the way my husband did it because he was smart. You have an emotion. What meaning did I give what happened? And you get the meaning is in your mind. It's not in the event. And if you just make that distinction, then the emotion goes away. And you can always be more effective not operating out of an emotion.
Yeah. I love it. What brought you here? Like, why are you doing this work? Why'd you write the book? And I love the title, but I love the subheading of the title even more. Yeah, what brought you here? Why are you doing this?
It juices me. I'm doing it, Brad, for almost probably 35 years. So first of all, I won't go into the whole story of how it started, but when I saw my late husband do this with someone, spirit literally knocked me off my chair. And I was from New York. I was not woo-woo. And the universe just said, that's what you're here to do. And it was just like, yes, oh my God. And every day I just worked. Yes, you know, I worked with a lot of business people, but I worked with a woman who was sex trafficked. And she had PTSD and suicidal ideation and everything under, and in a very short time, I call her Miss Normal because she's so normal now. And, you know, when people get on and they go, you know, I spoke yesterday and I wasn't afraid, or my daughter in Hawaii is, one of my daughters does it with business people and she does more leadership stuff, but with this, but my older daughter who lives in Hawaii is doing it and she isn't even certified yet. And she got a testimonial that a woman left an abuse, I'm going to cry. A woman left an abusive relationship and a toxic job. And she said she has opportunities, coming into her life. I'm reading the testimonial in my mind. Mm-hmm. And she has opportunities that she never dreamt possible. And for me, it's like great sex. I mean, it's just, you know, It's just so good.
I'm with you in that 3 years ago, when I stopped placing meanings on events in my childhood, my life forever changed. And I looked around and I was like, oh my gosh, this is why the whole world suffers. The same reason I was suffering, because of these beliefs that our brain should have done to keep us, you know, safe or feeling protected through these events in early childhood. And man, like you said, there's nothing better. I've done a lot of real estate deals and made some good money in real estate. But when I get a text saying, thank you for changing my life and my family's life, like, it is so amazing.
That is gorgeous that you did it like by yourself. That's amazing. Amazing.
I went through a next Navy SEAL in 3 hours, changed my life. 3 hours. I'd gone to therapy for 3 decades and probably 50 marriage counseling sessions. And we did exactly what you're talking about, Shelley. We went back and we found stressful events in my childhood and we figured out the meanings that I placed on those events. And the meaning was, my dad is doing this to me because I'm bad. I'm not enough. And in that 3 hours, I realized, wait, it wasn't me who wasn't enough. It was my father who felt he wasn't enough. And boom, that weight came off and my life forever changed.
That's so awesome. Good for you.
When you said when you saw your husband do that and you had that spiritual awakening, did you go from placing meanings on things to like having this like boom, this freedom? Or was it a slow process, or were you always great?
Oh, no. And thank you. No. First of all, I was very, 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 very blessed. I had an amazing childhood. Now, my dad would say things like, you don't use your head, or you just don't think, or why can't you be like Nina? We used to call it marks in those days. She gets great marks. So I had beliefs. And I also had a mother who only wanted me to be happy. And if I wasn't happy, she was like, I'll get you a new friend. I'll do anything. So I always thought I had to be happy. And I walked around with this like big smile on my face. And she was incredibly loving. But I had beliefs like the world should take care of me, which is not good. So I worked on, and, you know, because my mom wanted me to be popular and she wanted everybody to love me. So the belief, what makes me good enough is having other people think well of me, ran my life. You know, I'd walk away going, did she like me? And did he like me? And did I wear the right thing? And did I say the right thing? And it was just this.
Wow.
And when I got rid of that belief in that moment, like you say, my whole life opened up. Now, in our work, you know, if you feel stopped in a particular area, there are beliefs underlying that pattern. So we get rid of those beliefs, and we can get rid of, you know, depending on how the person works, 4, 5, 6 beliefs in a session. And again, I don't say we bust them or we bang them or we eliminate them permanently. And that's what I did. I just worked on myself. And I had a marriage where my husband would say, you know, you interrupted me a lot at that dinner party last night. Would you work on that, honey? And I said, sure. And in my family, if you didn't interrupt, you didn't speak. So I got rid of the belief that it's okay to interrupt people. That's how you talk. And then this is great. He walked in one day and he said, there are no bananas. And I said, bananas? I had 3 sessions. I'm raising 2 kids. And you want bananas? And he looked at me like, all I said was there's no bananas. And he said, honey, you're very defensive. And I said, you're right. I'm going to work on that. And I went and I had some belief, a good wife takes care of her husband. So what I heard was, you're not a good wife.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't defend yourself, you'll get in trouble. I can't remember what the beliefs were, but 1, maybe 2 sessions, and that was it. I'm not defensive anymore. You tell me something and I go, it's true, it's not true, or I don't agree, or here's what I think. But defensiveness was gone, which is huge.
That's a beautiful place to be. What was the name of the guy documentary that you were in?
Transcendence 2.
Transcendence 2. If you guys haven't seen it, it's amazing. Go take a look at it. What do you call yourself when you introduce yourself?
Yeah, by the way, when you shared about you ended your suffering, my late husband's name is Morty. Morty did a TEDx talk called How to Stop Suffering.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to listen to that. Yeah.
I call myself a facilitator. A Lefkoe method facilitator or a change facilitator.
Awesome. So you shared a success story. I think it was your daughter's about the lady getting out of an abusive relationship and bad job. You've worked with a ton of people. Give us a case study or a client success story, I should say, that would just wow us.
Oh my God, there's thousands. Well, I gave you the sex traffic woman. I gave you the workaholic, trying to keep it business. Oh, this is a fun one. Oh my goodness, this is a fun one. So this guy calls me up and he says, I'm working for a corporation. I really want to be an entrepreneur. And he said, I'm just really, really stuck. I can't leave. So I said, okay, what do you believe? And he said, entrepreneurship is dangerous and having a job with a salary is safe. Right? Which is not true because you can get fired and your company could go, whatever. So anyway, he gets rid of the belief and he calls me. We had a couple of sessions. I think we did I'm Not Good Enough and stuff like that. But that was the main belief that I remember working on. He calls me, I think it was 10 years. This is recent, maybe 10 years later. And he says, I need help. I said, what happened? He said, well, my business is worth $26 million and I want to buy my partner out and I have stuff around it. So we worked on that and he bought
it. Whoa. Whoa, that's amazing. And Shelley, the book, you might want to say the title again. It teaches this, like it step by step walks through the process that you use on your clients.
It does. It's called Hitting the Wall, Eliminate the Beliefs That Sabotage Your Business and Your Life.
And where can people find it?
On Amazon.
And where can people find you?
So if you want to eliminate a belief with a video rather than with just the book, you go to eliminatebeliefs.com. And then, of course, if you want more information, you go to Lefkoe, L-E-F as in Frank, K-O-E, Lefkoe. Institute.com.
Okay. And what did I not ask you that I should have asked? Or anything you want to leave, any nuggets you want to leave for the listeners?
Yeah. What you know is not going to get rid of your beliefs. evidence doesn't get rid of beliefs because you still think you saw your beliefs in the world. So whether you get the book or do the free belief, you will see the power and you're not a victim. Anytime you hear yourself say, I'm not, or I can't, just know that's not true. It's not the truth. You made that up. You can't see I can never or who I am isn't. You can't see that. You can only see events, and events have no meaning.
Fabulous. Thank you, Shelley. That was amazing. What information and how many lives you changed. I can't wait to keep in touch and see how everything unfolds.
Yay.
So I need your help. I'm trying to reach 1 million people and help them end their suffering. So if you like the show, please subscribe, please rate it, please review it, give it to your friends, whatever you can do to help me on this journey. That would be amazing.
Yes. And if you have the belief that you don't make a difference, you do. Because for every person that goes and writes a review, somebody might read that review, listen to this show, and their life can change. So you make a difference.
Oh, thank you. So that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. And remember, love heals all. Bye now.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.